I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Oh, that's where we need to live. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. This past week, Jeff and I were interviewed twice on the TCT television network about our book, Hope Lies Ahead. And I cannot tell you how good it felt. I never get tired of watching my son tell about what Jesus has done for him with a steady voice and clear eyes and a full heart. You had to be there, and some of you were. Some of you were years ago. God bless you. When his eyes were anything but clear and his heart was an empty void, inhabited by one thought, how can I get my next high? And you loved him anyhow. And by the grace of God, and a lot of loving, faithful people, through his Spirit, God set him free. The other night, after we watched one of the interviews, Carrie asked, how long did Jeffrey say he'd been clean for? And I responded, nearly 8 years. And then she pointed to her iPad and said, look at this, what I posted 9 years ago today on Facebook. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34:4. Interesting. Jeffrey hadn't been delivered yet. Not at the time. We didn't know what would happen yet, that 9 years later, Jeff and I would be celebrating a book that we had written about what God had done. Excuse me. In setting him free. But you see, that's the thing about our God. And that's the thing about prayer. Prayer is an adventure because it is about walking through life with God and discovering his mercy along the way. And it is, next to his word, the single best way I know that we can discover his mercy, because then we see how personal it is and how intentional it is. He is in our lives. But prayer is also puzzling. Again, we hadn't arrived there yet at the time Carrie put that up on Facebook, but we could somehow, you know, Scripture says we see as through a glass darkly, as in a fog. We could somehow see, no, God is going to do this, even though we weren't there yet. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. What does it look like to seek the Lord in prayer? And I don't mean that in a, you know, very pastoral sounding sense. I mean in a practical, everyday sense of the word, wherever we are. Now, I know we talk about this a lot. As a matter of fact, my nephew, I talked to him yesterday, and 20 years ago, he was married, and he was watching on his anniversary the video with a friend. And their friends turned to him and his wife and said, man, how many times did that pastor pray? But, you know, this is the living, breathing part of our relationship with God. It truly is. And so this is a place where we need to go back to continually. And this is what we're going to look at this morning from Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 33. This is an unusual passage on prayer. Abraham is praying to God about Sodom, the city where his nephew lives, and its neighboring city, Gomorrah. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning, just because it's very clear. So please follow along in your Bibles, and after I read, Jarek will play. And as Jarek plays, I'd like to ask you again to just pray for God's Spirit to move through his word into our hearts and minds. So here we go, Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 33. So the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I'm going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. The other men turned and headed toward Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? Suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city. Will you still sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Surely you won't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why, you would be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same. Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And the Lord responded, "If I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake." Then Abraham spoke again, "Since I've begun, let me speak further to my Lord, even though I'm but dust and ashes. Suppose there are only 45 righteous people rather than 50. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 righteous people there." Then Abraham pressed his request further, "Suppose there are only 40. And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 40. Please don't be angry, my Lord," Abraham pleaded. "Let me speak. Suppose only 30 righteous people are found." And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it if I find 30. Then Abraham said, "Since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there are only 20. And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Finally, Abraham said, "Lord, please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose only 10 are found there." And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. When the Lord had finished his conversation with Abraham, he went on his way. And Abraham returned to his tent. Have you ever had a conversation maybe a little like that with God? Lord, we long to hear from you, from your voice alone. Speak to us, we pray, through your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Oh, we prayed for a breeze, and there it is. There it is. And by the way, if you're hearing thunder, some of that may be wind on the microphone, so not to worry. But look at this prayer from Abraham. Talk about a puzzling prayer. What's going on here? Is Abraham bargaining with God? I thought you weren't supposed to do that. Or is God changing his mind? Scripture says, wait a minute, in Numbers 23:19, that God is not a man that he should change his mind. So what's happening here? I believe God has allowed this passage to be included in his word because it teaches us something really important about prayer. First of all, it teaches us how to pray. It shows us that prayer is not just throwing a request out there and hoping it comes true. Prayer is actually listening to God and reasoning with him. And that should give us hope because life can be complicated. And we have a God who wants to walk through our circumstances with us and help us arrive at a better place. So today we're going to look at this passage and we're going to lift up three lessons from it, 3 points from it about practical down-to-earth prayer. And here's the first. Did you notice that I kind of read a long time? Did you notice that it took some time for Abraham and God to arrive at a conclusion. Their conversation was long, it was drawn out, and that represents a process that happens when we really pray. Again, not when we sort of almost thoughtlessly throw a request up and out there and then forget about it, but when we sincerely engage God. I mean, think about it. It almost sounds like an auction, right? 50, do I hear 45? 45, do I hear, you know? And now there were thousands of people, you've got to understand, living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were significant cities, and again, Abraham's nephew Lot lived there. But suppose you find 50 righteous people living in the city. Will you still sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? And then Abraham takes another step, right? 45, 40, 30, 20, all the way down to 10. And that's where the conversation ends. God says he will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Now, what's going on? Is God changing his mind in all of this? I don't think so. I think what we're seeing is that Abraham is growing in his understanding of God's heart and who God really is. And God is just walking him through that. And when we pray, that should happen. You and I should begin to sense that God is at work in our circumstances. Now, Abraham had a unique relationship with God where he heard him directly, but I believe that through his spirit, you and I can become accustomed to hearing his voice as well. Now, there's trial and error in that, and that, by the way, is one of the reasons that being part of a church is so important, because sometimes we think we hear God say one thing, and what we're hearing may not be the case at all. And we need to bounce that off others. But again, God is leading Abraham in this discovery of who he is. And that brings us to the next point. God uses Abraham's interaction with him in prayer to lead him into a deeper relationship. You know, at the beginning, you kind of see some doubts and questions almost. Abraham seems to know God. He thinks he knows God, but then he sees God doing something that, you know, doesn't seem like him at all. He reaches a crisis point in his relationship with God, and we see it in this conversation. Look at verse 25. Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why? You would be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same. Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right? What an interesting thing to say to God. And yet, haven't we been there? Haven't we been in that place where we say, God, how can you allow this? Or God, don't let this happen. Then look at verse 27. Abraham says, since I've begun, let me speak further to my Lord, even though I'm but dust and ashes. And then verse 29, then Abraham pressed his request further. What is happening here is this gradual disclosure of the heart and the will of God in a matter, and there's interaction and pushback in it. And isn't that the way a real relationship is? You know, Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I mean, that's sometimes a difficult thing. But it isn't always. It's sometimes just a matter of action and reaction, right? You say something and someone smiles in response, and although it's a little harder to read that now with masks, but we do our best. But what's going on in this, what we don't want to miss, is that Abraham is putting the relationship first. You see that? The relationship is actually more important to him than the outcome, because the nature of who God is certainly, you know, it's all tied up in the outcome. That's where his understanding, the disclosure of what God's going to do, all of this is tied together. But Abraham is looking at what he knows God to be and saying, wait a minute. So it's the relationship that matters. And think about it. What if Abraham had started with, hey, Lord, how about just 10? I mean, that's how we often pray, right? But instead, and you see, Abraham is reverent, but it's okay to ask. It's okay to wrestle. It's okay to say, God, I don't get this. You would do this? And what this shows us is that there's so much more to prayer, that prayer which arrives at answers is a process which is inextricably intertwined with a relationship. You just don't, you know, think that you're going to arrive at answers when we make it so quick, the way we're used to stuff, right? God wants us to sit down, be with him. James 23:3 says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And get this, and he was called God's friend. Let's take a moment to ponder that. Take a moment to think about how you pray and ask yourself, am I like that? Am I a friend to God in the ways that I communicate with him? Am I comfortable to just sit down and be with him without having an agenda, without having a request? And when I do have a request, am I taking that and thoughtfully going before it with him and not just saying, my will be done, but Father, your will in all of this. Help me to want what you want. Let's ponder that for a moment while Jarek plays and pray and ask for God's help to have that kind of relationship with him. Can we do that? Third observation. If we continue in this kind of prayer, this relational, go the distance kind of prayer, we will discover things we never knew about the goodness of God. Good things often take time. This is one of those things. This doesn't mean that we'll always get what we ask for. Think about it. Abraham didn't get what he was asking for. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, although his nephew and his family were rescued. But God kept his word. He did save the righteous in the city. And what you see in all of this is that life is complex, and it takes time to sort out all of the details. And prayer is meant to be lived out like that, not at a distance, not just, you know, maybe a quick one when we get up in the morning and then we go off and head in our own direction. Or, you know, a prayer when we're just sort of not all there and we're falling asleep at night. Or just that memorized prayer that we, you know, say over lunch. Prayer's meant to be lived out. And there's nothing wrong with any of those, by the way. There's nothing wrong with any of those as far as they go. They just don't go far enough, do they? Because prayer is meant to be lived out in the details of life. Carrie's mom, Noemi, loves to do puzzles. But you know how hard it is to find a puzzle in a pandemic? I mean, and they, you know, they, I think they take up more space, and as things become more electronic, you know, you don't see them the way you used to in stores. But when she puts a puzzle together, it's kind of a family event, because she'll put it out on this table and she'll sit there for a while, and then Carrie and I will walk by and we'll see something, and you know, we'll all sort of take the time, and you know, we're sorting through this mess, trying to make sense of it. And prayer is like that. It's like putting a puzzle together. It takes time to sort it out. Sometimes what we need to do is take the whole mess of whatever it is we're going through and dump it on the table and sort it out with God and let Him help us piece by piece. Will you do it for 45? Will you do it for 40? What about if there are 30 people there? Many people give up on prayer too quickly because they want the quick answer. But God takes His time with things, and so in the Bible, you see these prayers where it starts one way and then ends another. You see it with Abraham, Moses. Exodus 33:11 tells us God spoke to Moses as what? As a friend. Jesus prays this way in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He asks for the cup to pass from Him. And of course, there's another outcome. But again, it's the relationship that matters. Father, not what I want, but what You want. Sometimes that's so hard to pray, isn't it? But we need to go into our rooms and close our doors, as Jesus described, and talk with our Father in present, in private, and reason things through with Him, giving all of our attention to the matters at hand, doing nothing else. Earlier I mentioned this involves listening. It also, again, just involves being with Him. Again, no agenda sometimes, too. Just I'm just going to go, and I'm just going to sit quietly with God. Do that, and not only will our prayer lives change, but our life and our relationship with God will be transformed. Because we'll see Him in ways we never expected. We'll find Him nearer than we ever knew. I'm not just saying that. The other day, after I wrote this sermon, I thought, you know, I need to practice what I preach. So I went into my room. I felt God wants me to do this. I closed the door. I blocked out distractions, including Max. I sat down on my bed, not lying down. And I began to talk with God about a number of things, whatever came to mind. And it was interesting. The name of a friend came to mind, and I looked up his number. I thought I had it in my phone, and I had to look it up online. And when I did, I saw that his daughter had died just 5 days before. Her obituary was just published. And of course, I called him. But I never would have known unless the Lord had brought me into that place step by step to where I found out. And it made me wonder, how many times do I miss what God is wanting to do because I'm moving too fast and I'm not just taking a moment? Come now, let us reason together, the Lord tells his people in Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But do you see that? Let us reason together. The amazing thing is that God invites us to do this, to reason with him, to interact with him, to talk to him, to share our lives with him. And this is the very purpose and reason for the cross. This is the reason why God became a human being, so that you and I could relate to him in the most intimate way and understand that he gets us. He understands every aspect of our lives. And you and I have this privilege to come before Almighty God and actually enter into the wonder of what only he can do. But to go there, we have to look. We have to really look. We have to gaze. And then we'll see. We'll see the wisdom of God even among the pieces, one by one, little by little, if we wait there with him. May we pray. Father, thank you that we can do this wherever we are, that you call us to this kind of life. Lord Jesus, thank you. You are a friend of sinners, and you welcome us to become the very children of God. And Father, we thank you that we can call you Father, and you are the kind of Father who is right there, concerned with the most intimate details of our lives. Lord, help us to live there with you. Help us to discover more and more those little things that we'd otherwise miss. Forgive us for running things in our own strength so often. But, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, come fill us, help us just to be with you. And maybe this morning there's someone in the sound of my voice who says, you know, I don't have that kind of relationship with him, but I want it. I want it. And God is so good, he wants you to have this relationship. Maybe you've known him a while, you've confessed your sins, you believe Jesus died on the cross for you. And just ask him to help you, and he will. But maybe you've never received Jesus. Oh, please, no. Look at the world around us. What hope do we have? He is our hope, because he is so much more than this world. He made it, and he's coming again. And you and I can know him and live with him forever. This is our faith. This is our hope. And we know it's real, because we have seen him at work in so many ways. So if you have never come to him, tell him, Lord, I believe you died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. Help me where I struggle to believe. But please come into my heart and life. And help me to live a new life with you. I want to be who you say I am, child of God. Father, thank you for the privilege of being yours. In Jesus' name. Let's continue to just take a moment
Well, Jarek plays to practice what we've been preaching and just be with God. Let's do that now. We're going to join together now in singing our last song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Mm-hmm.